This recording is copyright. IELTS Help Now, Listening Practice Tests. Test 9. In the IELTS test, you hear some recordings and you have to answer questions on them. You have time to read the instructions and questions and check your work. All recordings are played only once. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a conversation between two old friends who meet each other by accident. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You will see that there is an example. This time only, the conversation relating to this will be played first.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Well, John. Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I haven't seen you since we left school. How long ago is that now? It must be 10 years. Or is it 11?
No, it's 9 years now.
So, 9 years, A, is the correct answer. Now we begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, as a recording is not played twice. Listen carefully to the conversation and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Well, John. Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I haven't seen you since we left school. How long ago is that now? It must be 10 years. Or is it 11?
No, it's 9 years now. What are you doing with yourself? You were going to be a doctor, weren't you? Or something medical, like a chiropractor?
Well, I was going to be, but that's not what I did. I started medical school, but I didn't really enjoy it. And the idea of doing it for 5 or 6 years, and then continuing to study for years after that, didn't really appeal. So I left medical school and went into teacher training college to be a science teacher.
And I thought for all these years that you were earning megabucks as a doctor, or working in a pharmaceutical company.
No, just a teacher. I love it, though. I'm so glad I did it instead of medicine. And what are you doing, Frank?
After school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I travelled for a couple of years around the world.
Great. Where did you go?
Lots of places, but nowhere in Europe. I wanted to travel long distance. First of all, I travelled through India and Nepal. Then I moved into Southeast Asia for a few months. Then I went through Australia and New Zealand. After that, I went to Africa and went around various countries there. After that, it was South America, Central America, and North America.
How on earth did you afford all that?
I just settled down and worked for a few months in places where I could get a job and save money. Then, when I had enough, I moved on. I wasn't exactly staying in luxurious places, though.
And now what? You always wanted to work with computers, didn't you?
Yes, I remember that. However, when I finished all the travelling, I thought of going into travel writing, but it's so competitive. I always fancied journalism as well, so I got into that. And right now, I'm working for the local paper.
Did you have to study for that?
Well, some people don't. But I went to college for a year to do a journalism course. And I'm glad I did, as it gave me a bit of a head start, and certainly helped me get my first job.
And are you married and kids, or what?
I married a girl called Liz, that I met whilst I was in Australia. We haven't had kids yet, though we're planning on having at least 2 or 3. What about you?
Do you remember Kate, who I dated whilst at school?
Of course, the prettiest girl in the school. You didn't marry her, did you?
Yes, we managed to stay together all through college. She did teaching too, so we were at the same place for 3 years at college. We thought about getting married in our last year at college, but it was all too much, and then we were too busy the year after graduation. So we did it 2 years after we graduated.
Wow, I'm so happy that you guys stayed together. That's great.
Where are you living now?
Oh, in Westleigh. In the High Street, actually. What about you?
In Wesley too. We've got a flat near the secondary school. Obviously then it's easier to get into work.
Before the conversation continues, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 6 to 10.
Listen, why don't you and Kate come over for dinner sometime?
That's a great idea. When?
How about next Friday?
Can't do Friday, I'm afraid. Both Kate and I have a parent-teacher afternoon on Friday after school, and then we'll have to do the paperwork in the evening.
What about Saturday, then?
That would normally be fine, but our babysitter is away that night, and we won't be able to find one at such short notice. Why don't you and Liz come over for dinner at ours, and then we'll be able to look after the kids. You'll be able to meet them too.
Okay, let's do that then. Liz will be happy. She won't have to cook.
I'll be doing the cooking when you come round. I love cooking.
So, what time shall we come round? 8 o'clock?
Well, we'll be home around 6:30 that night, as we're going out for the afternoon with the kids. I'd say come at about 7:30.
Are you sure that's long enough to get things ready?
Well, that'll be an hour. I don't need more than that.
And what's your phone number, just in case?
01347 835 825. That's the home number. And the mobile is 07978 290 512. What about you?
I've only got a mobile. It's 07623 963 957.
What was that last bit again?
I'll say it all again. 07623 963 957.
And I'd better give you the address.
Oh yes, that would help.
We live at flat 3, Evergreen Terrace. It's just past the church, on the right. We've got a postbox opposite us, and a doctor's surgery next door.
I should be able to find that.
Anything you don't like to eat?
Well, I hate fish and seafood. And Liz doesn't care much for red meat. She likes white meat, though.
How about chicken?
That should be fine.
Oh, yes. When you arrive, none of the bells are marked for security, and there are 4 buttons. You need to press the bell second from the bottom.
Second from the bottom. Okay, got that.
I'll be able to buzz you in, and then come up to the first floor, and the door will be open.
Great. Well, it's so good to see you again, John. I really look forward to seeing you on Saturday and meeting Kate again, and the kids, of course.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to meeting Liz.
See you Saturday, then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That is the end of section 1. You will now have 30 minutes to check your answers. Now turn to section 2. Section 2. You will hear a man giving a short talk to new students about their university sports centre. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 14. Now listen carefully to the short talk and answer questions 11 to 14.
Good morning to all you new students here at Wesley University, and thank you for coming to this talk on the Sports Centre. My name is Mr. Mike Finn. Later, I'll take you around the centre on a tour, but right now I'll just let you know what we have to offer and how you can become a member. We are at present in the main reception of the sports centre. Behind me we have the main sports hall, where a myriad of different sports take place. We have football, hockey, basketball, badminton, martial arts and netball, to name but a few. We are also planning cricket nets and trampolines in the near future. Aerobics, modern dance and spinning are also held in the main sports hall, and yoga classes are coming soon. There is a large schedule up on the wall behind me detailing when each sport is on. It also gives details of which sports you have to pay extra for in order to join in. Above us, and overlooking the main sports hall, we have our fitness room, which has all the modern weight training machines and aerobic training machines that you could wish for. At present, there are no running machines, as there have been a few accidents with these, and we are waiting for the university to work out its insurance as regards these before we get them back again. Round the back of the main sports hall are our three squash courts. These can be reserved at the reception. The one important thing with the squash courts is that you must not wear outdoor or black marking soles on them. You will be fined and suspended from the centre if you do. Next to that, we have the provisional site of the swimming pool. Details of that are posted on the Sports Centre newsletter, which is always available on the notice board. We hope that it won't be too long in coming. Outside the hall, we have playing fields where you can play football, rugby, cricket and hockey. You don't need to be a member of the Sports Centre to enjoy these playing fields, but you might need to join the individual sports clubs. Membership dues for these clubs are not usually very high, and it always includes insurance cover, so don't worry. You won't need to take out a bank loan to join them all.
You now have some time to look at questions 15 to 20. Now listen to the rest of the short talk and answer questions 15 to 20.
Now let me tell you how to become a student member of the Sports Centre. First of all, any student who wishes to be a student member of the Wesley University Sports Centre must be studying a course at the university, part-time or full-time, and be a member of the Students' Union. So if you wish to join, you must bring your NUS card with you before we can process your application. You must come to the Sports Hall reception between 9 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. The membership secretary does not come in on Sundays and Mondays. You must present your NUS card, fill out the application form, and pay the subscription. The student subscription for this year is £15. There is usually a joining fee of £5 to join the sports centre, but this does not apply to student members. You can pay by cash or cheque, but we don't take credit cards. You used to have to bring 2 passport photos of yourself, but we've gone digital now, so we can take your photo ourselves with our camera at reception. Once you have your Sports Centre membership card, you have the right to use the facilities at any time that we are open. You will need to bring your membership card every time you wish to use the facilities, or you will not be allowed to enter. This is part of our insurance agreement. If you need a replacement card at any time, you will be charged a replacement fee of £5. But you will not need to pay the subscription of £15 again. You may book courts for sports such as squash and badminton, but you may only do this in person, not on the phone, and you will need the membership card number on your membership card, so don't forget that card. We are open 7 days a week, though opening times vary. Monday through to Saturday, we are open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And Sunday, we are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, any questions so far?
That is the end of section 2. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a university tutor and his seminar group of three students discussing their extended essays. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Hello everyone. Welcome back from your winter holidays. I hope you had a good time and didn't work too hard. Well, this semester we will continue our seminars on agriculture. Today, like last semester, we are in the McLeod room, but this will change. Next week we are going to the Hardy room on the second floor, and we will remain there for the duration of the semester. Also, we will have to change the time, as the Hardy room is not available at our usual time of 3 o'clock. So, we'll need to start 1 hour later. Is that okay with everyone?
I've got a problem with that. I have a part-time job in a restaurant in town, and finishing an hour later will stop me being on time.
Well, Maggie, there are other seminar times for this particular subject, but you'll need to get someone to swap with you, as they're all full. Come by my office tomorrow lunchtime, and I'll show you the list. We should find someone willing to change.
What if we can't, though?
You'll have to decide what's more important for you, the degree or the job. You know that attendance is compulsory at the seminars, and you haven't got a very good attendance record anyway.
I'll sort something out, I suppose.
Professor Cameron, when do we find out about the extended essay for this semester?
Today, actually, Guy. We'll look at everything in a minute.
Thanks.
What about last semester's extended essay?
Well, Monica, all your extended essays are now with the external examiner, getting their second assessment. I completed the marking in early January, and the external examiner should get them back to me by mid-February.
Mid-February? For 3 essays?
It's not just your essays, Maggie. There are 3 of you in this seminar group, but I have 5 other seminar groups on this subject in your year, and they have 4 students in each. That makes 19 extended essays that I and the external examiner have to mark.
How did we do, Prof?
With one notable exception, the essays were of a pretty good standard. I can't say more than that at this stage, but I was very happy.
You now have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen to the rest of the discussion and answer questions 26 to 30.
So, moving on to talk about the extended essay, what do you want to know about it?
First of all, what do we have to write about?
Next week, I'll bring in a list of titles which will relate to the first 10 seminars that we have this semester. You have to choose one title from 10 titles on offer, but you might want to think about choosing from the first 5, so that you'll have more post-seminar time to prepare.
What about the deadline?
I'm afraid it's not the 26th of May, as we advertised at the start of the academic year, as that's a bank holiday. It's now the next day, the 27th. No extensions. We won't accept the 28th.
Can we let you see our work before we hand it in?
Yes, though we have a deadline for that too, in order to encourage you to get organised and started early. So, we will continue to look at drafts until the last day of April, and then after that, you're on your own to produce your final product.
What's the word limit, Professor?
We want to have an upper and lower limit, so we've set the lower limit of 3,000 words and the upper one of 3,500. You'll have to be in that range.
Will we need to do any research for the essay?
I'm not really supposed to give you any details of the questions yet, but yes, there is a research component for all the questions.
Will the research be survey-based or done on the farm or in greenhouses?
The research that we want you to do will be practical work with plants, so it will be down at the university facilities, either at the university farm or the greenhouses, as you said.
What type of plants will we be studying?
The type of plant that you do your research on will depend on the question you choose, and I can't tell you any more about the questions yet.
Will we have any help with the growing procedures?
A little. The farm staff and Dr. Johns will be on hand to help you at the farm, and Rob, down at the greenhouse complex, can assist you with everything down there. Well, that'll do for now. You can hang on until next week to get started. Today we're going to look at...
That is the end of section 3. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4. Section 4. You will hear part of a further education lecture on marine biology. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 36. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 36.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another further education lecture on marine biology. Recently, we looked at the coelacanth, which people thought had become extinct millions of years ago. Today, we are looking at another inhabitant of the deep, which we're pretty sure is extinct, though some people still think it exists. I think most people would hope it's extinct, as we are talking about the largest predator that ever lived on Earth. It is called Carcharodon megalodon, or just the megalodon. Megalodon was an ancient shark that may have been 12 metres long, or even more. There are a few scientists who estimate that it could have been up to 50 or 100 feet, which is 15 or 31 metres long. This is about three times as long as the great white shark, but this is only an estimate made from many fossilised teeth and a few fossilised vertebrae that have been found. These giant teeth are the size of a man's hand. No other parts of this ancient shark are found, as shark fossils are extremely rare, because sharks have no bones, only cartilage which does not fossilise well. Their teeth, however, are very hard. They are made of a bone-like material coated with hard enamel, and they fossilise very well. So we can only guess at what it looked like. Since Megalodon's teeth are very similar to the teeth of the great white shark, it is thought that Megalodon may have looked like a huge, streamlined version of the great white shark. Megalodon teeth are similar to those of the great white shark, but are much bigger, thicker, and with finer serrations. Megalodon's jaws could open 6 feet wide and 7 feet high. The jaws were loosely attached by ligaments and muscles to the skull, opening extremely wide in order to swallow enormous objects. It could easily swallow a large great white shark whole. Unlike most sharks, Megalodon's teeth were probably located in rows which rotated into use as they were needed. Most sharks have about 3 to 5 rows of teeth at any time. The front set does most of the work. The first 2 rows are used for obtaining prey. The other rows rotate into place as they are needed. As teeth are lost, broken, or worn down, they are replaced by new teeth. Megalodon may have had hundreds of teeth at one time. It did not chew its food like we do, but gulped it down whole in very large chunks. Megalodon's diet probably consisted mostly of whales. Sharks eat about 2% of their body weight each day, which is a bit less than a human being eats. Since most sharks are cold-blooded, they don't have to eat as much proportionally as we eat. It was during the Miocene era that the mammalian order Cetacea, whales, reached its highest diversity and abundance. Almost every known family of toothed and baleen whale is known from the end of the Miocene. Large whale vertebrae and flipper bones have been found with large bite marks made by serrated teeth that match the teeth of Megalodon. From such evidence, paleontologists have surmised a predator-prey relationship of the Megalodon with large whales.
You now have some time to look at questions 37 to 40. Now listen to the rest of the marine biology lecture and answer questions 37 to 40.
Megalodon lived from roughly 25 to 1.6 million years ago, during the Miocene and Pliocene epochs. It is now extinct, but the exact time of its extinction is hotly debated, as some people believe that this enormous shark could still exist today. Almost everyone who has investigated the possible existence of the great Megalodon realizes that if it is extinct, it has only recently occurred in the geological record, as close as 10,000 years ago. Zoological history has proved that very large animals can remain hidden from modern science, especially in our planet's underexplored ocean depths. So, if the famous coelacanth, the fish thought to be extinct for 60 million years, can be found alive and well as it was last century, why not push our giant white shark up a mere 10,000? Has Megalodon died out, or has one already appeared? There is a well-known sighting report from Australia. In the year 1918, crayfishmen at Port Stephens refused to go to sea to their regular fishing grounds in the vicinity of Broughton Island for several days. The men had been at work on the deep water fishing grounds when an immense shark of almost unbelievable proportions put in an appearance, attacking pot after pot containing many crayfish, and taking pots, mooring lines and all. On returning unscathed, the men were all unanimous that this shark was something the like of which they had never dreamed of. And bear in mind that these were men who were used to the sea and all sorts of weather and all sorts of sharks as well. They all said the shark was as long as the wharf of their harbour, about 115 feet. They were all familiar with whales, which they had often seen passing at sea, but this was a vast shark. They had seen its terrible head, which was at least as long as the roof on the wharf shed at Nelson's Bay. The sighting was never repeated, and it is impossible to say whether it was a hoax or not. Putting childlike dreaming aside, however, leaves us with the fact that whether or not the huge Megalodon is alive today is debatable only on theoretical grounds. despite thousands of giant fossilized teeth, no matter how fresh they might be. And this sighting, there is not much to go on.
That is the end of section 4. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of listening test 9. In the IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening answer sheet.